This is Bruce Collins, your host for the Bible Studies program. Again, greetings this morning and welcome to our lesson today. I'm glad you've tuned us in. I do trust the program encourages you and challenges you. Now, for those of you who would like to contact me, I will give you my mailing address and website address at the close of this program. If you go to my website, you can re-listen to these programs there. You can also email prayer requests from the website. I have a weekly meditation that you might find helpful, so you will need a pencil and a piece of paper to write those addresses down at the close of the program. Now today, we're going to continue with the names and titles of the Lord Jesus. The last time we were looking at the Lord Jesus as our lawyer, the Bible calls him our advocate. Today we want to look at him as our deliverer, and I'm taking that because we've just passed July 4th, where we celebrate our independence as a nation. July 4th, I looked it up, is a day of remembrance of our deliverance from the tyranny of England. It was the day that the final draft of the Declaration of Independence was accepted by the Continental Congress. The war had been started over a year before that, if I have it right, and the actual draft of the Declaration of Independence had been written on July 2nd, but July 4th was the day the final draft was accepted. Now, when we freed ourselves from England, we voluntarily submitted ourselves to our own government. So when we are liberated from one thing, it always leaves us at liberty to serve another. We never find ourselves without a master. Now, after being liberated from England, we were free to serve our own constitution, our own government. And it's the same thing when we come to trust in the Lord Jesus. We are delivered from the bondage of sin, according to Romans 7, to voluntarily serve a new master, which is righteousness, or Christ. And that's the one that we preach to you on this program. Now, when we are delivered, we not only are delivered from the bondage of sin, we are delivered from the results of sin. We are delivered from the judicial requirement of a righteous God in punishing that sin. And so when we look at this matter of a deliverer, I really want to take as our theme verse 1 Thessalonians chapter 1 and verse 10, where Paul tells the Thessalonians that they were waiting for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead. This is Jesus who delivers us from the wrath to come. And so there's a deliverance here. We were delivered from the wrath to come. Sometimes when we preach the gospel, we fail to mention the penalty associated with our sin, and we need to be delivered from the penalty that our sin deserves. And we know that when it comes to this earth, that penalty is going to be a seven-year period when God is going to bring judgment on unbelievers and unbelieving nations. I do believe that 1 Thessalonians chapter 1 is referring to the rapture, and we're going to be delivered from the wrath to come by being raptured if we are Christians. That is, by being caught up to be with the Lord in the air. The Lord is not going to allow his bride to go through the judgments that are going to take place on earth. We have been saved from the penalty of our sin, and we've been saved from every aspect of it. And so I do believe that we'll be saved from the penalty that is going to come on this earth. It seems as though now people can do what they want, and they can get by with almost anything, and they can reject God, and they can reject his standards, and they can say that society has changed, moral standards have changed. We know we go through all of that, but unfortunately that's not true. And for those who reject the Lord Jesus Christ, they're going to experience the wrath to come. And for those who are alive, when that wrath comes, it's going to be terrible. We've read before from Revelation 6 where the great men, everybody is going to be calling for the rocks and the mountains to fall on them and to hide them from the face of the Lamb, for the great day of his wrath has come. Now the Lamb of God, we've looked at that, he died for us at the cross of Calvary, but there's a day coming when he's going to punish those who have rejected his love as shown at the cross of Calvary. So we need to be delivered from the wrath to come, not only from what's going to come upon this world, but we need to be delivered from the eternal wrath of God. Here, as we've said, it is called the wrath to come and is referring to coming judgments on unbelievers after the Lord catches the church away. But we are also delivered from a place called hell, which is a temporary unseen state fully described in Luke 16, and we're delivered from the final abode of the unbeliever, which is called the lake of fire, and that's explained in Revelation 20. And I don't want to spend a lot of time on that today. I want to spend time on the blessing of the deliverance that we have, but nevertheless, we need to be aware that God is not playing games with us. He wants us to trust Him. He loves us. He wants us to be saved from the wrath to come. Now, last week, there was a day of deliverance for a lady who has been long prayed for, sitting at our dining room table with my wife and one other friend. She was told that she didn't need to know more in order to be saved. She knew all that she needed to know. She knew the basic salvation scriptures, such as John 3:16, which says, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him or trusts in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life." She knew Romans 5:6-8, "For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet perhaps for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commends His love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." And she had been pointed to many other scriptures that say the same thing. It's the theme of the Bible that a lamb has to be offered to pay for sins, or we will suffer for them ourselves. And that lamb had been offered. And she had knew these salvation verses. And all of a sudden, she said, it just clicked, and she knew that Christ had died for her. When I saw her later and asked her how she knew she was saved, she pointed at the Bible and said, "Because it says so." The angels rejoiced, and the rest of us rejoiced, because she was delivered from the wrath to come by simply trusting what God has promised in the scriptures. And so she was delivered, and thank God for that. And I can look back to the day when I was delivered, and I hope if you're listening to my voice today, you could remember the day, not necessarily the date, but the event where you were delivered, where you, like the prodigal son, came to yourself and just believed that the blessing was found in Christ and in the Father's house. Now, when we are delivered, we're delivered from the penalty that our sin deserves, but there is another way that we look at this deliverance, and that's through the new birth. When we are born again, we are delivered for a new life in Christ. Isn't it interesting that when we talk about salvation and when we talk about the new birth, both have the concept of being delivered with them? So when we are born again, we are delivered for a new life in Christ. It's the positive side of what we get when we trust Christ. And when we are saved, we are delivered from the penalty that our sin deserves. That's the negative side of what happens when we trust Christ. It's very positive because we're delivered from it, but it's looking at the negative things that we need to be delivered from. Now, when we are born again, that new life is from eternity, and it's for eternity. It is called eternal life. We start our existence here with physical life, which has an end. But when we are born from above or born again, we start a life that will never end. Now, when we look at a birth, at a physical birth, we know that first there is conception when the seed is planted, and then there is a period of development within the womb in a natural way, and then there is deliverance when the baby is born, and then there should be development as an independent person outside the womb if the baby is healthy. But there is a point of deliverance, and it's that way when it comes to preaching the Word of God. Most people do not come to faith in the Lord Jesus the first time they hear the message of salvation. Some do, but that's not the usual case. Usually when they hear the Word of God publicly preached or in private conversation or through their own reading, they will find out that God begins to stir them and to work in their life. The seed is planted. But the point is that they may have to do a lot of thinking and a lot of examining and a lot of, they may have to change their mind on a lot of things before they can come to that point where they can just accept the fact that Christ died at the cross for them. And when they can accept that fact based on the promises of Scripture, that's a deliverance. That's when they can say, oh, I understand. That's when they can say like that man in John chapter 9, who was blind from his mother's womb, blind from birth. When the Lord opened his eyes and he was examined with regard to what had happened, he said, whether this man is a sinner or not, I don't know, but one thing I know. And of course, the Pharisees were saying that the Lord who opened his eyes was a sinner. He says, I don't understand all about that. It doesn't make sense with regard to what you've been preaching to me all these years, but one thing I know. Whereas I was blind, now I see. Now, in a spiritual sense, we would say we understand. And that's why my friend the other night said it just clicked. She had her eyes opened to the truth that Christ had died for her. She was able to depend on it. She was able to rest on it. And it gave her an understanding and a peace that she had never had before. And friend, her future was secured at that very point when she was delivered, and now we hope to be able to help her understand some of the things that a Christian will want to do to please the Lord. Not things that she'll need to do in order to stay saved, but things that a Christian will want to do to please the Lord. As parents, or as children of parents that love us, there are certain things we don't have to do, but we do them because we know it will please our parents. And so in like manner, we'll try to help this new convert understand that the Lord who loved her has certain things that will please him, and we'll try to help her accomplish those things. It will include baptism. It will include the Lord's Supper in a ceremonial way. It'll include a holy life with regard to the moral issues of life. And then, and we'll try not to indoctrinate her. We'll try to take her to the Scripture and help her to be taught by the Holy Spirit from the Scripture, so she'll have her own convictions. But she was delivered, and now there'll be development outside the womb. And friend, I want to ask you today, have you been delivered from the wrath to come? This is an important question, and it's so simple to be delivered, but when we tell God how to do his work, instead of accepting what he says, it's very difficult for us to just believe in the Lord Jesus and to trust him as our Savior. I hope you have trusted him as your Savior. Our Heavenly Father, we ask you to bless our lesson today, to bless all who have listened. We thank you for salvation through faith in your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, and we pray in the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen. Now, our mailing address is Bible Studies, Box 192, Greenfield, Iowa, 50849. Bible Studies, Box 192, Greenfield, Iowa, 50849. My website address is bdcministries.com, bdcministries.com, and we do thank you for listening.